Standing on the promises. God, my Savior. I come to you this afternoon in all praise and all honor to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine.
Amen.
Recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Reverend MacMillan, my lovely wife, and my beautiful, beautiful church family.
Amen.
It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God.
Amen.
Let us go to God in prayer. Take control, Lord. Take control right now, Lord, as I submit. Take control, Lord, as I come to you for. If you don't speak, Lord, then there's nothing that can be said. Lord, take control right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak a word, Lord. Take this submitted vessel, Lord, and do with me what you wish, Lord, but hide me way, way, way behind your cross, Lord, that when someone listens to me, when someone looks to me, Lord, they will only hear and see you, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for we need a word in these times. We need a word, Lord. We need to hear from you. Speak, Lord. Take control right now and touch those that are sitting up under this word, Lord God. Some in need of one thing, some in need of another, but only you know, Lord. Take control. Speak to our need. We call on you. We count on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, God has me doing something a little different. I fought with him for a while, but as usual, I lost.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But if you would, take your Bibles out and be prepared to move around just a little bit and start with the Old Testament, and then we'll come back and do impart the scripture that we had read this morning. So 2 Kings Chapter 3, and Joshua chapter 10, and then Matthew chapter 11. 2 Kings, 3rd chapter, start with the 9th verse and read for 2 verses. Reads thusly, "So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host, and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, Alas, that the Lord have called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Then Joshua, chapter 10, verse 6, it reads, it says, And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And finally, just one verse out of Mark chapter 11. the verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God." And we will continue this morning, perhaps the final part of this, maybe this is part three of anticipating hope. This may be the last part, but each time I say that it goes a little further, but we will use anticipating hope, and we'll call this part three. And then as a topic for today, we want to use scripture soup for the soul. Scripture soup for the soul. And if you want to figure out that title, it's, I thought about my mother, and when we were in need and hungry and needed food, and she could always go back to the kitchen, and it would be nothing in the kitchen, it would seem, but she could always go in those cabinets and pull out some stuff and make something out of nothing. So God put on my mind when I was looking through and studying and trying to prepare this message, he kept taking me different places. And it was up until this morning when I realized what he was doing. He was showing me different parts in the scripture to put together. So I said, scripture soup for the soul. When I came in this morning, the topic that I had written down is still here on these notes as a light thing in the sight of the Lord. So what God is trying to show us is that no matter what it might look like sometime, God is in control and he can make something out of what appears to be nothing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father.
This whole thing is about hope. It's what God has us on this all year, and I don't know how long we'll be there, but certainly we will never run out of the need for hope. Mm-hmm. So whatever situation or circumstance you may find yourself in this morning or during this period of time, no matter what that thing in your life might be, mm-hmm. that thing that seemingly just will not go away, mm-hmm. that thing that just seems like there's no viable solution for, that thing that you trusted God for. You said, I've been on this road, I've been on this journey for a long time, and I'm just trusting God. I'm trusting that God will supply my need, that God will make a way. But it's that thing that when God answered, he didn't answer like you thought he should have answered. Mm-hmm. You know how we sometimes do. And so whatever that place, that thing that you are going through, that thing that you have on your mind, that thing that seems like you might be losing hope, that thing that has you where you feel like you're in between a rock and a hard place. Hallelujah. If we just review a little bit here, that we talked the last couple of times about anticipating hope, and we use anticipating as a description for the type of hope that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Anticipating hope. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you remember, we defined a difference. We said that was a difference between expectation and anticipation.
All right.
You see, expectation is when we project our imagined reality, how something ought to logically come out, how this is the solution to this problem. So we project our imagined reality onto the future. That's our expectation. But anticipation is looking forward with excitement to whatever is coming, whatever God has in store, because we can rest in the assurance that whatever God has is good.
Amen.
All right now.
Regardless of what form it takes. So when we are resting in God, when we are resting, anticipating the move of God, then we can find peace, we can find joy right in the midst of whatever it is that we are going through, because God's got it.
All right.
Did y'all get that? See, because you see, too many times we have it all figured out. This is how it's got to go, and this is what my God's going to do. But if you knew all of that, then you would be God. You see, when a crisis comes, when the crisis comes, you will be guided by an emotion of faith. Or an emotion of fear, or an emotion of frustration. An emotion of faith, if you put your complete trust in God, then you have faith. And no matter what's going on, you have faith. He said, I'm not concerned with it. I might be diverted for a minute, but when I put my focus back on God and realize that God has it all in his hand, that God knows everything that's going on, then I can find peace and joy in faith. Fear, if you put your trust in man, that being any man, yourself included. But if you put your trust in man, then you will exist in fear. Because at best, people are wishy-washy.
All right.
You even have people that have the right intent. They mean good. My mama used to say he meant good. He wanted to do the right thing, but for some reason just could not. So the best you can do when you put your trust in man is to operate in fear. Then you exist in frustration. That's when you kinda, sorta trust in God. And I know nobody here, these are CLLC people, y'all know nothing about that. When you kinda, sorta trust in God, that's when you try to guide God, you try to tell God. You go to pray, you tell God what you need, and you tell him when you need it, and you tell him by which route it needs to come.
Come on, man.
But I'm counting on God because I prayed.
Mm-hmm.
See, I pray with expectation, my imagined reality, what the way that I think God ought to solve my problem. So when God does not solve it like I think that he ought to, I'm frustrated.
Come on there.
Lord knows I tried. Lord knows I try to do the right. Paul said, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us.
Come on, man. Yeah.
So that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The word was written to give us hope in this life. We must use the personal accounts of scripture to decide and determine for ourselves where our hope is based. We are to take the information that's presented in God's word and make a judgment on it. Will we use it to have the hope that the word offers? Or will we disregard the word as just another book and wander through life hopelessly? The scriptures were written to encourage us and to build us up in faith, love, and hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Songwriter goes on and says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For on Christ, the solid rock, I stand.
Yes, Lord.
All other ground is sinking sand. I don't care what it might look like or what it might seem to be, but all other ground, if your hope is in anything less than Jesus Christ, then you're standing on shaky ground, on sand that may fall at any minute. We're in this thing, all of us. A spiritual warfare. That's why you the scriptures that were chosen this morning. Because the scriptures that God gives us sometimes applies to our situation. We're in a spiritual battle. And God provided this morning some scriptures, examples for our edification. If you take the three scriptures that I read this morning, and you try to put them together, that's why I said you'll come up with scriptural soup. But the commonality of the scriptures, it suggests that we have faith in God. No matter what the situation, it's about having faith in God. The three scriptures talk about God's promises and God's provision. That's pretty much all that there is. If you take this book of promises, God promises in this Bible all the time. It's nothing but a book of promises that God promises things and then he provides for what he promised. So if you stand on the promise, you can count on the provision. Somebody better write that down. If you stand on the promise, then you can count on the provision. If you believe the promise, you can anticipate the provision. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. as I told you, when you take these scriptures and put them together, you come up with scriptural soup for the soul. You see, God has a way of designing situations and circumstances for his own purpose. All three situations that you see in the scriptures today, God orchestrated each situation for a particular purpose. Mm-hmm. You see, sometimes God comes to us completely benign or neutral. Then there are times that God allows our circumstances to overwhelm us.
Oh, yes.
But then sometimes God just allows that our circumstances look so easy that we become arrogant.
All right, yeah. All right.
And overconfident.
Jesus.
But God knows just what we need. When God came to his disciples in Matthew and Mark, and Jesus answered them saying, have faith in God. He was talking to them because he had cursed the fig tree. And one of his disciples said to him, look, Lord, at the fig tree that you cursed is withering up and it's dying. And Jesus just said to them, have faith in God. He said, this is a benign situation. Now, this is neutral, and all I want you to see is that if you can keep your eye on Jesus, if you can keep your focus on him, when you just keep your eye on him, then you don't have to worry, and I don't have to carry you to one extreme or the other. Your life don't have to be up and down and up and down. If you will just have faith.
Come on, man. Yep.
He uses that situation. He said, I just want to check to see if you're listening.
All right, then.
And if you do, I'll just come back to you on occasion and just make sure that you are still listening. But I can remain neutral and benign, and you can just move on along with your hand in God's hand. Whether your situations go like this or not, you go like this. But in the other scripture, the one coming from Kings, you saw three kings, the king of Israel and Judah and Edom. And they had joined together to fight against the people of Moab because the people of Moab had rebelled against Israel.
Yes.
It was three nations. This is God's people. There are three nations going against Israel. One, it looked like the odds were in their favor. So what they did is become overconfident and arrogant.
Yes.
Come on, man.
All right,
talk. He said, we got this all figured out. We'll go at them from this way. Here's how we're going to attack that one nation because it's three of us and just one of them. And that's how it looked until God put his hands in it. But God allowed them to run into a place where there was no water.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Uh-oh.
A necessity. They
had no water for themselves and no water for their cattle. And God wanted to teach them humility.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
God has a way of causing the situation to be what he wants so that he can get to his purpose for us. Then the other scripture. There were five kings of the Amorites. They joined together to fight against the people of Gibeon because they have made peace with Israel, God's people.
Mm-hmm.
At this time around, there were five armies against God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Looked pretty bad for the home team.
Yeah. Looking good. Amen.
But God made five enemies come up against God's people because God needed to overwhelm His people. God needed to show His people their need for Him. God is reminding me of something that's going on right now, but that's something different. But God has a way of getting your attention. He said, you see how it looks now.
Come on now. Say something now.
Say you are overwhelmed and it's nothing that you can do about it. You thought you could. You thought you had it all going on, but now you feel like you're helpless and what are we going to do?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
God has a way of causing situations and circumstances to be what He wanted to be so that God can make His point, so that God can get to His purpose.
He's God.
Hallelujah. But not for you to worry. The psalmist says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me when God is on my side?
That's right.
If God be for me, who can be against me? It really doesn't matter who's against me. If God's for me, it doesn't matter whether the odds are in my favor or the odds are against me. If God is on my side.
That's right.
All right. That's all that matters.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So what does all of this mean? So the question that I see this morning, and so how do we access God's promises? Because if we can access His promises, we can get His provision.
All right.
So how do we get, how do we access God's promises? The guideline for this year is strive to do your best and anticipate God doing the rest. So all you have to do is your part. What is your part?
Right.
You see, if you, all you got to do is push. Just keep right on pressing and press your way into the presence of the Lord with prayer. Keep pressing. The harder the situation gets, the most uncomfortable place is when you're in between that rock and the hard place. The more it press on you, the more you ought to call out to Him.
That's
right. Oh, yes.
All you got to do. It's your part. You see, Oswald Chambers puts it this way. He said, you have no right to say, I believe in God, unless you order your life under His all-seeing eye. I trust in God, but I'm going to do what I want to do.
Well,
God says you have no right to call on Him until you obey Him. Trust and obey. There is
no other way.
Other way. Mark 11, and I'm going to go out with this. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith.
Have faith.
In God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain,
whosoever,
be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's the key. Shall not doubt.
Shall not.
Lord, I'm in a situation and I just don't see how it can come out right. But if I got doubt, then I should expect nothing of the Lord. But if I can believe without doubt and find out what God wants me to do and what God wants me to be. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and that ye shall have them. We might think that we in a tight situation now, but God has already worked it out. It's already done. God already knows what's going to happen. God already has a plan, and all you got to do is hold on to God.
Yes. Hold on to his
unchanging hand.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Oh, yes, sir.
When you stand praying, forgive everybody, anything that anybody has done to you, even the things that they're doing to you right now. Forgive them, because if you can't forgive, then God can't forgive you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Glory, God.
So if you need something to change, if you want God to turn things around for you, find a promise in the Bible.
That's right.
Stand on it.
Yes.
Instead of complaining, pray. The Lord is on my side. Find a scripture in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're going through something right now, God promised. I don't care what you're going through. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. He didn't say, I could, I might. He said, I will give you rest. He said, because I promise. And when you go to God, don't go complaining to God. Go to God and say, you said.
Yes, God. That's your word.
You said it in your word, and I'm holding you to your word.
Yes, sir, God.
You said if I come, and I have no doubt, then you would give me rest.
Yes.
Look at Philippians 4:19. It said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Whatever you need, God got it.
Yes, sir.
He said he supplied all.
He said he would supply it all. I didn't say it. God said it. So if you're in need and you need to go to God and say, God, you say it.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Don't complain.
Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, I found your promise in your word, and I want to see your provision by your hand.
Yes, I'm standing on the promise, God.
When Jesus got ready to leave, John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't have anything to fear or to be afraid of. God, I'm feeling a little bit shaky. But you say it.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
I'm not complaining.
Come on now.
I'm just talking about what you say.
You say, God. You say.
Hallelujah. I'm about done. Isaiah 40:29. It says, he giveth power to the faint.
Faint.
And to them that have no might.
No might.
Ever been like that?
Yes. Oh,
when you feel like you just can't go no further.
Can't go no further.
But he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. If you look around now at young people going through, don't know which way to turn, don't know what to do, even they will fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
Not be weary now.
They shall walk.
Come on now.
And not faint.
And not faint. Yes.
They just keep on keeping on. When the world comes against you, when you don't see your way out, if you just hold on to God's unchanging and wait on Him and
wait on Him. Man.
God, I need you to come. I need you to help me. I'm not complaining, Lord. I'm not talking about what I'm going through. I'm talking about what you said in your word. I found the promise, and now I want the provision. Hallelujah. Might not come overnight like it did in the scriptures.
All right now.
When God made miraculous provisions.
Yes.
And He did it overnight. Jesus. But He may not come to your situation overnight, but you stay in faith and keep reminding God of what He promised. You keep right on calling on Him day in and day out. Yes. Instead of complaining, say that again. Instead of complaining, say, God, you said.
Yes, sir.
You can't read it back to him if you don't pick up your Bible.
That's right. That's
you can't tell him what he said. I'm not talking about hearsay. I'm not talking about what somebody told you he said. I'm talking about what he said.
Can't make it up now.
You in a situation. The pastor at the funeral I went to yesterday said, if you find yourself in the Bible and encourage yourself.
All right now.
I'm speaking to somebody now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
If you're going through something, find yourself in the book. Don't complain. Don't complain. Yes. Find it in here and say, God.
You said.
You said.
Yes,
say.
Yes,
yes,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
He won't even get mad with you when you tell him, because he said, that's my word.
He watches over it. Yes, sir, God.
Instead of describing your circumstances, but Lord, it's different what I'm going through, and not like other people. You don't know how hard my life is.
Jesus.
Instead of moaning and groaning, say, God, you said.
You said.
But a light thing.
All right now, a light thing.
In the sight of God, I don't care what it is you're going through.
Yes,
I don't care what it might look like. It's a light thing.
Come on now.
In the sight of God.
All right.
Find it in His Word. Nothing can be better for us than to ask what God promised. Find the promise and God will meet the provision. Scripture soup for the soul.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Scripture soup. Go in there when you don't know what you're looking for.
All right.
Look in the back and you might see some words of hoping, waiting, weeping, and
yes,
looking at him, go out and
Lord.
Pick take this scripture, take that one, and make yourself some scriptural soup. God can speak to you.
That's right.
Yes, he will.
God's not like me when I have to sit down and study and try to figure out. You go into God's word, searching with an open heart, and God will guide you. Find the promise. God will meet the provision. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance. Thank you, Lord, for your endurance. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with me. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.